All right, hello and good morning to everybody. And my name is Kenton Seja from beautiful North Portsmouth. And we would like to welcome you to Team Unity's first live press conference at Fort Young Hotel. I would like to introduce our General Secretary, Mr. Alex Bruno, to continue with the proceedings of the conference. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ken T, one of the founders of our movement. I welcome the media, which is very well represented here today. In particular, I'd like to mention MO News, who are exclusively live, well, not exclusively live, but live with our platform as well. And I am overwhelmed by the support that we have had here today from the media. Almost every media house is represented, and that's great. Today's event is not really to launch the party. The party will be launched. Let me backtrack a bit. Today's event is not necessarily to launch the movement. The movement will be launched in Calabashi on Sunday. We decided to meet you here at Fort Young Hotel today to introduce the idea of our movement to you and to start the ball rolling, because I know the media may have questions and we are willing to answer those questions before we officially launch. So this is our responsibility to the media by meeting you here at the wonderful Fort Young Hotel to have a little conversation with you. You will meet the entire team at Calabashi on Sunday. And this exercise is just to kind of give you some access to us. The question is, who is or what is Team Unity Dominica? We are a movement. We are based in the village of Calabashi. That's where our address is. And we are about uniting parties and teams together for the better good of our country when it comes to electoral politics. We've decided to create this movement out of a need, a great desire, by the Dominican people who have expressed the need for such an entity. The party system have pretty much failed the people to a great extent, and there has been a clarion call for a more neutral, less partisan setup to take care of the very serious administrative matters of the country moving forward. So that's what Team Unity is about. We're not just a party of individuals interested in office. We are a party of individuals interested in the well-being of our people and our country. And we put country first every time. In fact, the constitution which has established TUD speaks to that. And before going on any further, I wanted to make this public pledge to the nation and to the world, and the fellow founders of our movement will make that pledge as well in Calabashi. But as the General Secretary, I have to go ahead before. And I take an oath of service, which reads as follows. In the presence of God and man, I, Alex Bruno, do solemnly affirm to be true to the unbroken resolve of our people and the country and the everlasting spirit which has made Dominica the nation it is today. I pledge to respect all the emblems of state and to put the good of the people of Dominica first in all political undertakings. By this pledge, I accept and declare that my first interest is to the country, not party. And I thereby place my loyalty to the country, to Dominica, over any party. I am also bound to the words of Dominica's national anthem and pledge, and promise to do my best to help unite our people. I take this solemn pledge in your presence today with the national flag to my right as a permanent commitment of our endeavor in this movement. And the other members of our movement will take that same pledge in Calabashi on Sunday. I will actually administer this pledge, now that I have been sworn in, so to speak. Our idea is to sort of begin a new conversation in the politics of our country. For far too long, we have had this politics of division and hate. So we are trying to bridge the divides, bring parties together, to unite under a platform. We want to establish a sort of meeting point where all Dominicans can respectfully disagree on matters of politics, not with envy or rancor or hate. We believe that every Dominican can claim membership in TUD because TUD is about Dominica and Dominicans. And membership in our movement is open to everyone who is 18 and above. You can claim membership in the movement. So I know I might have a question or two. How does one become a movement, a member? You're a member as long as you're a Dominican. Just claim membership because our ethos is all about bringing people together. Next slide, please, Carlos. The major thrust of our movement is to begin a conversation which brings us back to basics. Agriculture will be and is the main pillar of Dominica's economic transformation. So if we are fortunate enough to get the blessings of the Dominican public and we are voted into office, we will radically transform Dominica's economy on an agricultural basis. We'll place emphasis on young farmers. Our farming community is aging. We will entice younger Dominicans to get into farming. We'll create a workers' guild where we may have to import farm labor to assist with the recultivation of at least 80% of the arable lands in Dominica. And we shall do so at least within the first half of our first term in office. We'll invest $1 billion in agriculture. No exaggeration. The monies will be raised from the revenue streams that are being used now to raise funds for infrastructural development. We think if infrastructure is important, agriculture is doubly important. So we will do what is necessary to raise funds to invest in agriculture, $1 billion in the first term, if our movement gets into office. Housing facilities for farmers will be a major remit of our movement, whereby the younger farmers, especially the first-time homeowners, will be given the opportunity to own a house, to own a home, on their private holdings and especially on the farms. If you desire to, because of your landscape, you have the facility and you want to have a home on your farm, we can do that and we shall do that for you. Fully contained with satellite and everything that goes with it. So farmers, yes, can have a house on the farm if they choose to and also have a home in a residence somewhere else. That's the kind of incentives you want to give to younger people to get into farming. We will create a distribution and export agency to take care of all the farm products, to make sure that whatever is produced in Dominica can be sold regionally and internationally. And we will invest immediately in high-grade organic cannabis, marijuana, as a major industry. We'll also, as I said before, utilize all the arable land that we have on the island of Dominica to make sure that we have full-time production of crops going out of the island. I won't give you an entire list of what we're going to do, but I just wanted you to at least to introduce you to some ideas in terms of how we think. One of the things that we will do as a team as well is to establish a free speech zone. Dominicans want to speak against the things that affect them. And People's Park will be declared a free speech zone where any group of individuals at any time could gather at People's Park and say whatever they wish against the government. Anything. As long as it's not like libelous or slanderous or profane. But just go criticize your government. It's fine. So the People's Park, right across from Fortune Hotel here, will be established as the first free speech zone on the island, and we'll have free speech zones everywhere else. When you are in that free speech zone, the police will come to protect you and help you to have your to exercise your free speech, not to stop you from speaking. And of course, as an administration of our country, the idea of democracy will be alive and well. But we will go beyond that to establish those zones. That's one of the things that we'll do, and I wanted to mention that as well. Carlos, next slide, please. I guess I'm a little nervous because Kala is there and he promised me he's going to ask some big question. We are asking for the honoring of Dominica's former Prime Minister, Mr. Edison James. We believe being the only surviving Prime Minister of our country, head of government, It is time that our nation honor this man. As a senior statesman, so we're asking for the Dominican National Award of Honor or any fitting honor to be bestowed on him. Our research tells us that our beloved Prime Minister has not yet been awarded, and that is in keeping with protecting the foundation and honoring the stalwarts of our country. Nu las palekot mun kom si di nu paeme mun. We have to embrace and celebrate our people. Politics has begotten too partisan and divisive. So our idea is to bring people together. And I think if the government of Dominica would honor our former head of government this independent season, it would be a fitting sign of unity and strength and camaraderie in the political circle. So we have written a letter, and later on, a delegation of our team will go to the ministry to deliver the letter on behalf of the former Honorable Prime Minister of Dominica, and we hope that Mr. James will get his place at the podium this independent season when the awards will be held. We'll also create a National Heroes Association where people like Alwyn Boley, Billy Doctorow, Patrick John, first Prime Minister of Dominica, our first medical doctors, W.M. Pond, L.M. Christian. These individuals are heroes. What are we waiting to honor them and to place long-lasting edifice and memory of them around our nation? It is high time that we establish a Hall of Fame to respect the pioneers of our country. And that doesn't stop with the politicians, because I mentioned Billy Doctorow, who's not a politician, a leading elite cricket umpire, and he deserves such hero recognition, just as Viv Richards in Antigua is enjoying being a living legend and hero in Antigua and Barbuda. So these, in a nutshell, are some of the things that I wanted to start off speaking about. I know you're going to have questions that we're going to answer, but I just wanted to have a little idea of that. Finally, before I open up to questions, the area that we are in, the free speech zone right on People's Park, the idea of the State House, we are going to, if we get into office, we hope we do, transform the idea of the National State House. We believe that the resident of the head of state and head of government should be at Monbruce. We'll recreate and rebuild wonderful accommodation for our Prime Minister and President to live at Monbruce. We'll rename the State House the Edward Oliver Libla House of Culture. We'll create a theater right across the street. We'll rebuild the National Library using the old edifice as foundational work. We will recreate a building for DBS Radio and the National Broadcasting Commission and give DBS a permanent, wonderful home, probably on two layers, and a little performance theater right in the middle. So that becomes a wonderful space, cultural space. The Dame Eugenia Boulevard, we will move all the stuff that is very unsightly on the boulevard and create a wonderful pathway that's more welcoming to our visitors, and going down to the Cadas-Lipso mural, which is on there. So that entire area will be transformed as a cultural hub, including this free speech zone that's also all going to be erected at the People's Park. So we have a broad vision of how we want to do things, areas by areas, and as we continue, we will let you know the specific vision that we have for specific things. We have ideas on air transportation as well. We have ideas on police and national security. One of the things that we want to do as a team is to create 1,000 people strong, young individuals serving as national guards of our country. They'll be first responders, people who come out to help in times of disaster, and people who will help to the refurbishment of the houses that has been built by our government. The apartment houses, which we'll move away from, we will keep them, maintain them, but the National Guards will be mainly helping with the repairs and renovation and maintenance of this edifice. They'll be trained in carpentry, masonry, diving, survival skills. So we're going to utilize the young people, get them actively involved as National Guards individuals, boys and girls, men and women, and get them to respond to emergencies. Yes, the RSS will still be there, but we think we need to engage, and the future of our country certainly is in the hands of our young people. So we're going to have at least 1,000 young people strong as National Guards individual to help to change and to help build our country. That, in essence, are the few points I wanted to make before I took questions from you, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you, the media, for being here, and we now avail ourselves to you for whatever questions that you may have. Oh, sorry, Kalai, before. Because the product the producer of our event just reminded me to speak about our official launch, which I mentioned earlier, which is going to be in Calabishi, the scenic village of Calabishi, on Sunday from 3 o'clock. Our event is going to be 1 hour. All of our political events will be at least 45 minutes to 1 hour, Kalai. No long drawn-out conventions. No big loud pandemonium. Message in and out. So we're going to be in Calabishi on Sunday from 3 o'clock. Between 3 and 4, you, the media, you're invited to join us there as well, where we now officially launch what would be our movement and our plans for the next election season. And we are ready. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bruno.
Yes, sir.
I see you've basically put in what I beyond this, almost a cabinet.
Yes.
Yeah, our new government will consist of 11 ministers. My question to you, though, is who is going to be your political leader? Why you have this press conference today, and why the person who is going to be your political leader not there today to tell us some of your plans?
Well, we don't have the title of political leader in Team Unity. The title of the person who's going to be leading the charge is Unity Leader. So we have a Unity Leader, not a party leader, because we have in a Unity Movement. And we expect the person who's going to lead the movement to lead all and sundry, people from all sides. This has been established for 10 years, this movement. 10 years in office, dissolve. This movement has been established to create momentum, buoyancy in the politics, Kalai. The politics is too stale. So if and when TUD gets into office, whoever becomes the team leader and becomes the Prime Minister of Dominica, the life expectancy of this movement is 10 years. After 10 years, the party could be reformed or dissolved. But we're just here to fill the gap. In terms of who's going to be the leader of the movement at the launching, I think we will give more information about that. We have already identified a number of people who could lead our movement. And candidates as well. We have at least almost confirmed 4 candidates, and we shall be running quite a number of seats but we're going to speak about that in Calabishi on Sunday.
Are you saying to me that you are launching, you have this official press conference, and you do not yet have somebody in place as, according to you, Team Unity leader? Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that.
What are you really saying?
I'm telling you we'll announce the leader for movement at the appropriate time.
But you're not saying that you're going to announce that leader on Sunday?
We might. You never know. It might just be me. It might be you, Carlisle.
It will not be me, definitely.
So you never know. We are holding certain things back because we really want to see you in Calabishi, very scenic, beautiful Calabishi. And I guarantee you, Carlisle John Baptist, that we are ready for the next election cycle with a full organization ready to run in enough seats to win the general election as a movement.
Why you decided to have a movement for 10 years? Why? Which political movement that comes into being and decides we're going to be there for 10 years? That is strange.
Okay. It is strange because of the strangeness of the situations, Mr. John Baptist. We have to fix the political culture and climate in our country. We think when we become the government in 10 years' time, we'll be able to shift things around a bit. And then we can go back to the drawing board and say, well, the Constitution says 10 years, guys. What are you going to do? There's a clause, a continuance clause. But there's a clause that dissolves this thing after 10 years. So we are catering for any issues. Whatever comes, the Constitution will guide the movement forward. If the movement wants to change from a unity movement to a more partisan movement, fine. But for now, the unity movement that we have established, based on the ideas of the founders, is that we should not seek to be a permanent party, a permanent ruling class. Do you want to see another party run Dominica for 20, 25 years, Carlisle John Baptist? Is that what you really want to see? No. So the Constitution caters for that never to happen again. We should never have one prime minister run our country for 20 years, Carlisle, 25 years. I mean, you can go and come a few times. But 20 years in a church is too much in a democracy. So that is the reason why we decided to do the 10 years in office and see what happens after that. We're not interested in what we do. We're interested in how Dominica moves from here.
You've established a lot of elaborate plans in your ministries. I see there whoever the prime minister will be We will not be holding the portfolio of finance. Very, very interesting. And it's almost like you're saying that you are going to be the next government. How realistic do you see that happening?
For a new team to take over the reins of government in Dominica, very realistic. After 25 years of the same team, Carlisle, if you do what you have to do right and attract the right people, I think it's easy. Look at what happened in St. Kitts. Look at what happened in Grenada, my friend. Look at what happened in St. Lucia.
But they were not new parties, eh?
They may not be new parties, but they were parties with new ideas. We are a movement with interesting and new ideas. And I think if it can happen there, it can happen here as well. Dominicans are bright and are very astute. And when Dominicans see what is working for Dominicans, I guarantee you, Dominicans will gravitate towards it. And we believe that we have the package. Now, we may not win, but we think we are ready to form government. We have been speaking to hundreds of people, consultants, who have given us very sound advice. Because, Kelly, we are ready to run Dominica from maybe 2 months' time if elections are called early, or a year and a half time if it's called on term. We are honestly, Carlisle, genuinely ready to take over the reins of government.
People are saying that Alex Bruno again. Alex Bruno from the pollster. Alex Bruno from the other party, I forget their name. Now Alex Bruno, APP. And your APP had, I don't know how to describe it, but Alex Bruno again. What is going on? What does Alex Bruno want? Are you basically, because people are saying that you seem to be hungry, quote unquote, for power. Is that true?
I'm hungry. I'm not sure it's for power, but I'm hungry. I want to see things happen in our country. And not only me, a lot of Dominicans are hungry. A lot of us in Ocalai. And I want to at least work with a team of individuals to present an opportunity for more people to eat. There used to be a saying, all shall eat. Where has that saying gone? So yes, I'm hungry. For power, I'm not too sure that I really desire power because I'm in Carlisle, I'm an associate professor. I make a good salary, I make a decent living. So I'm not here seeking a job. I've already have a job and a profession. But it would be nice to serve your people. Wouldn't it be, Carlisle? So if it happens that let's say I run in Calabasas and I win and I become Prime Minister of Dominica, what's the big deal of that? Why can't somebody just become Prime Minister? Why can't I aspire to become something in Dominica too? Am I not somebody, a Dominican citizen as well? So I think it is, you know, what remit, and I don't see anything wrong with me because I have no negative track record. The only thing I have had in terms of my work in Dominica is success. Think about it. From culture to drama to theater to calypso to entertainment, just name one institution I was part of and I failed. So why not me? The fiasco which happened, I think, with the former group that I was part of, I think was a blessing in disguise. The Almighty speaks in remarkable ways. The wonders to perform. I think whatever the derailing of the movement created an opportunity that I to see better. Honestly, the second time around, this is, I feel more confident and comfortable in that creation. So I just thank the individuals who tried to savage me. I forgive them. And I ask them to forgive me for whatever I did to them as well. I'm really not sure what I did. But I'm ready to move on for Dominica and in the interest of our country, not in the interest of our party. But this was a party, the last thing. This one is a movement. So I think from that, we stepped out, and I think we are ready to serve now. So a failure in life, Carlisle, sometimes is a stepping stone to success.
But you keep saying it's a movement, and you already have a symbol, which is the fork, the eating tool. Your political party... Are you telling me you're not?
No, I never tell you we're not a political party. What I say we're not a traditional political party. We are a movement of individuals, and our main remit is to bring parties together. That's what I said.
So you decide you want to bring all political parties in Dominica together? Is that what
you're saying? Not all political parties. All parties. Everyone who wants progress and unity. We don't want to bring all the different parties, blue, red, green, yellow. No, that's not what we're talking about. When I say parties, I mean people. You see, like, as we're here today, we exchange ideas, and we decide what's best for our country. Dominica needs that now more than anything else. To a meeting of the minds, to fix the problem that we have politically. So yes, we are a party, but not a traditional political party, and we're not here on a partisan platform to say, oh, it's us or nobody else. We're never going to slander anyone. We're never going to mépriser anyone. We're just going to promote Dominica and fly Dominica's flag. You see, that's our symbol is the fork, the eaten cutlery. Our emblem is the flag. We have always had this. Our color is white, the dominant color, and the other colors of the national flag. That's our party color. That's our movement color, whatever you want to call us. So we keep the flag as the life emblem, and we use white as a base color with green, yellow, black, and red as just standard colors. We don't have blue in it because blue is not in the national flag, unfortunately, Carlisle, but we have the other colors represented.
Who are your sponsors?
Are you able to answer to that question?
I asked you a question. You didn't see that one was coming.
Are there any other members here who from the media who wish to ask questions?
So you're not answering that question.
Would you answer that question if you were?
I asked you a question. Who are your sponsors?
Who did you hear are my sponsors? Who did you hear are our sponsors?
Who? Repeat that question.
Who did you hear? Or who did you speculate that?
So you asked, I asked a question, you threw it back at me? Really?
Because I
thought. No. You are there to answer questions. I'm there to question you.
The people who assist us are Dominicans and people who are friends of Dominica. And we have a lot of tremendous, serious backing, financial and other forms of backing.
Do you care to name any one person or business place?
I would love to, but I don't think at this juncture we need to. We certainly do not have clearance from those who are assisting us or promise assistance to publish the names. I have never heard any party movement publish the names of people helping them. And probably if there becomes a law where, let's say, the Reform Act suggests that the people who sponsor movement should be declared, we would do that. We would be happy to. But until such time, I think the friends of the movement will remain the friends.
So if I want to make a contribution to your party, do you have a banking account in Dominica?
Yes, but we have a symbol, we have a party name, we have a national bank account of them. Well, the account, we can't publish it as yet, but we have some signatory thing to take care of. Mm-hmm. But we will, that's where our account is going to be landed. Within a day or two, I think the account should be ready for your $1 million contribution.
I'll leave it for now. Yeah.
Thank you, Kalai. Give somebody else a chance, Kalai. Somebody has a chance, man.
Why should Dominicans put faith in this movement?
Because that's Dominica's last hope. We honestly think that's our last hope politically. I mean, think about it now. You come from DBS, right? Mm-hmm. You're a very progressive young person. I worked at DBS. I still do work at DBS. Tell Mr. Joseph that. In fact, when we change DBS around, build a wonderful structure for you, if he's behaving well, he can even continue to serve as manager with a new team. If he starts to behave. Yeah, he's a good guy. Why people should have confidence in us is because we are Dominica's last hope. I mean, when the Honorable Prime Minister who's serving now, he has been in for 20 years. He can't continue being Prime Minister of Dominica. Who do you think, who do you see ready to replace our Honorable Prime Minister right now? Where's the continuity in office? After he leaves, that's it. So we are positioning ourselves because we think that there is a void that has been created, and we are here at the right time to fill that void. We have the expertise, we have the talent, and we have what it takes to become the government of Dominica. I mean, you're not speaking to people who do not know what they're talking about. That's what politics is my business. And the other people who are part of what we're doing, we are qualified and trained, we are skilled, we are driven. We are all Dominicans, and we are young. I'm about maybe one of the oldest person in the group, and I'm still young. So I think Dominicans should give us a chance, man, and put us in the office. Let us build and change the country around, man. Too much of the same old, and the MIPWE and moving along and comedy in parliament. I mean, don't you want to see our decent parliamentary proceedings for a change? Where the speaker respect the speaker and the people who presenting and stuff like that? I mean, don't we haven't we had enough of the fights and the rancor? The young people like you are crying for different. No, we are giving you different. That's the young people's party. The older people too. But we are here to serve all, so the confidence should be placed in us because we really come to deliver the goods. We are serious as Suki's hot bread. Very, very, very serious. Ruben Stu.
Another question?
Yeah.
Say a Team Unity Dominica is in power and they're running the government. What does your first 365 days look like? What are the targeted objectives for that first 365 days? Team Unity in power in Dominica.
So 365 days is the year, right?
Right.
Okay, within the first year in office, we would have transformed the economy. The reliance on passport sales as the main economic earner is a recipe for disaster. We cannot continue to rely on that as our engine of growth. God forbid something happens to the CBI, we endeavor. So we're going to transform. We're going to maybe use that same CBI to get $1 billion investment, put it into agriculture and farming. We have short-term crops, 8 months, 9 months. We have vegetables. 3 months, 2 months. We cultivate 50 acres, 60 acres each. We will have goods, we will have stuff coming around within 3 months to 9 months. Bananas. We'll recreate a market. Bananas haven't died. Bananas is still one of the main fruit available and being consumed. So we'll recreate the regional market. We'll team up with Antigua and Barbuda through the external trade department. We will we'll twin Antigua and Barbuda with Marigot. We'll develop the jetty or the ship dock in Marigot to be a major cargo port and export products to Barbados, Saint Kitts, and Antigua. We'll create arrangements for our produce to be shipped. So within a year, the young lady who asked the question, we would have at least millions of dollars of produce being shipped out of Dominica to generate external trade. That's what we will do within the first year in office. To successfully, we will still probably linger around the CBI, see how it go, transform it, you know, make it more transparent, you know, above board. But agriculture is going to be what we invest our money in. And if we have to sell a 5 passport to do that, we'll do that. And all the money goes into agriculture. Just the same way we're getting passport money to put into other edifice, we're going to invest it into agriculture for the first year.
Now I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
Given that agriculture is something a lot of young people would consider something of the past, and you're saying that we're basically moving towards that, would you consider that in line with your diversification objectives?
Oh, yes.
Something that we're moving towards for the future is actually something that revolves around us going back. How does that align with the future of Dominica? Considering, you know, a lot of our young people are not really interested in agriculture, to be honest.
Well,
we're looking for more new and diverse means of obtaining a future for ourselves. So, aside from agriculture, what else are we looking at for the future of our young people?
Good question. But let me go back to the agriculture. Agriculture is not a past thing. Dominica's agricultural heaven. You can't move away from what you are. The wonderful spirit of Sankofa, African thinking belief spirit, believes that you can move forward looking back. So we're not going to go back, we're looking back to what has made us. I think you come from a family which depended on agriculture for survival. I think your dad might have been the son of a farmer. I'm going to guess your dad is from Wesley. That's an agricultural belt. So you are the product of agriculture. You cannot not be what you are. So we are saying that the only common sense thing to do is to focus on what is good and what makes sense. We are an agricultural haven. We are a basket of freshness. So we're going to recultivate, and the people who are going to be farming, the reason why the young people are not interested in farming is because there's not much money to be made in farming. We are going to present you opportunities to make millions of dollars, the same way the people in Wesley used to come down to Roseau and buy a vehicle cash. Wouldn't you like to do that as a young person? So why not? So we're going to give you an opportunity. Farming is not a has-been or subsistence thing. We're going to create the environment, give you all the incentives and the assistance. You can go to your garden with your long sleeve shirt like D.L.S. Warrington from Calabi, she did. I've never seen this guy stand up. He's always been a farmer. So the idea, the old taboo of the farmer looking as these older people who are bent back is done with us. We are going to bring farming so young people can get into it. We give in your farmhouse, your first house, with all the necessities that you need. I mean, who wouldn't want that? And then plus create the market and take you seriously and you make a lot of money. The farmers were the person making the most money in Dominica. The most. SB and this guy Scala, you know them from Wesley. They would make $80,000 a week. Wouldn't you like to make that as a young person? So that's what we're going to go back to do. And it's not impossible at all. We have the land, we have the water, we have the drive, we have the vision, we have the determination. So we are going to do it. And I'm telling you, within a year, you will see the transformation taking place in terms of the economy and economic return.
I want to ask you a follow-up question that my colleague asked. Second question. Where you spoke about the CBI and the passports, but you sort of, if I may, self-contradicted yourself, because you said you want to take that away.
No, not take it away.
Hold 1 second. And then you came back and you said, if push comes to shove and you may sell about 5 passports, what are you really saying?
Kale, I didn't say we're going to take it away. I say we will diversify. We will move away from the sole dependence on passport sales and economic generator.
But you called it disaster. So it's a disaster
to depend on passport sales to sustain your economy.
But if you're saying it is a disaster, then why do you want to sell 5 or 6 of them to assist you?
So
it's either you decide to use it or you're not going to use it.
No, the economics behind the trade and the running of the state is a serious business. We have been so advised that you cannot just come and say we're going to just cut that. You're crazy. You can't just cut your main economy owner. You expect us to say that today and call us a responsible team? Oh, that's you. Should you set me up, man, Carlisle? No, we are going to reform the CBI. We are going to make it more lean and transparent. We will know where our money is. We'll invest money into agriculture directly. So the same way we can have a wonderful edifice at Jungle Bay with my dear friend Sam. And maybe Sam might even support me saying that too. We'll put money into agriculture the same way. Into farming.
But where are you going to get that money?
Where did they get the money to put all the infrastructural development, all the apartments around Dominica? Where?
Because I am concerned by you saying that it is the CBI...
Is
a recipe for disaster.
Let's also say that today.
I am concerned by you saying that it is a recipe for disaster. Yet still, whilst you are saying it is a recipe for disaster, you are also saying in the same breath that, look, we will use a few passports.
5, I say.
Or 5.
I mean, more than that. I was just being a little...
What are you really saying, Mr.?
And I'll say it again. Mr. John Baptist,
yes, sir.
I said, an over-reliance on passport sales, CBI, as the main revenue earner in any country is a recipe for disaster. That's what I said. But it is common economic knowledge that you cannot just cut out your main economic earner when you become a new government. You have to phase out. We will not permanently leave this thing, you know. We'll make it more lean and more organized and more transparent. That's what I've been saying all along, you know, Kalai. We're not saying it is a demon or we're not calling it a crazy thing, you know. We're saying it is really disastrous to depend on it alone. That's what I heard the Prime Minister said almost in the budget. Words to that effect. So we are saying that we will get Sam Duncan store, maybe you can sell a few passports to Carlisle, and we invest the money in agriculture, in the cannabis industry, put $1 billion there. The same way we can go and raise money to build an international airport, we will raise money to revive Dominica's agriculture, and then when the agriculture starts going, we'll say, well, probably we can phase out, we can change focus, but we need a kickstart of agriculture, and that is where we're getting the money from. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
What are your views on international airport? I know you've been in that aviation industry for a while before. That is where you sort of started.
Yeah.
Yes, I know you're a long time. What are your views on international airport? And since you're talking about Kalibishi, etc., it will be in that area. What are your party's views, the views of your party, as it relates to that?
We believe the issues that we have in Dominica right now is not an airport. Issue is access transportation issue. So the airport is an infrastructure, transportation is something else. You can have the biggest airport and you don't have hubs, you don't have traffic, you have a problem. So I am very particular, We are concerned that we do not create a situation where we have a white elephant on our hands. We have a nice big airport, but where is the traffic? So we, when we get into government, will sort of look. Probably the airport might be built already. I do not know. Probably not. But when we get there, we'll look at what we can do to recalibrate our priorities. And I think the major priority right now in the region, in Dominica, is traffic, regional travel. Miami is the hub of Dominica's hub right now, you know. On my way to Dominica, I was in the Miami International, and I'm hearing flights for Martinique being announced, flight for St. Lucia, flight for Grenada, from Martinique, from Miami. So Antigua is no longer a hub. Barbados is, they exist, but not as main hubs. To get out of Dominica now is crazy. So we're going to try to fix the problem. Instead of flying you to Miami to go to Antigua, we'll fly you to Miami, to Antigua. Fly to St. Vincent. We used to have 3-4 flights to Antigua a day. Now we only have 1 flight a day to Miami to go back to Antigua. I can afford it. How many people can afford a flight like that? Miami should not be our hub. Antigua, Barbados should continue to be the hub. We should reorganize regional travel. Now if you can reorganize regional travel and still be in an airport, I understand. But I think the focus should be to reorganize regional travel, and the prime ministers for our region are too selfish. They are only mainly concerned about themselves, their keeps. They do things to talk about big projects, airports and so on, so they can win elections. And the people are struggling. $1,000 to fly to Dominica, Calais from 3 hours away. That can't be. How much of us can afford that? We used to go to Antigua, Calais for weekends. You remember that? Right now to go to Antigua, how much is it going to cost to go to Antigua? So our priority in Dominica should be to kind of beef up on regional travel, hub travel. I'm not saying that we will not build the airport, but it won't be a major priority for us if we get into government like yesterday.
I think I'll leave you for now.
Thank you, Kalai. And I think you have used your quota of questions. You know.
So you mean, are you restricting me?
No, man. I'm just teasing you, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Where's Matt?
Matt is out of state.
Yeah.
He's probably listening as we speak.
Okay. Give him my love.
He's probably listening.
Okay. Matt, I love you.
He's in the United States.
Yes.
Went to check on his health as usual.
Thank you. No problem. Matt is a great guy.
So just for us to close off on a high note, I have a final question.
Mm-hmm.
So this is again a question for MOUs. As a young person between the ages of, let's say, we're saying 18, anybody can join, but let's say realistically from 20 to 30, why should I join Team Unity? Why should I be interested in the manifesto and the forward thinking or whatever it is Team Unity has put out there? Why should I attend the launch on Sunday? Why should I look forward to anything Team Unity has to offer?
The youth is the future of our country. Young people are generally progressive. We believe we are the most progressive political entity, political movement on Ireland. And if the youth is going to choose a progressive movement, I think they should give us a chance. First of all, we are younger. In all sphere, our vision is more pro-youth, and we are more in contact with what the young people are saying. If you look at the little mini manifesto we circulated, it is flavored by youth valor and the demands from our young people, I mean middle age as well, and older Dominicans as well. But we think that Dominicans are progressive, young people are progressive. One of the things we want to create, again, I know I don't want to keep you guys here too long. It's a national network where we condense all the content produced in Dominica. We call it Dallywood. D-A-L-L. Spell it for me, Carlos.
D-A-L-L-Y.
D-A-L-L-Y-W-O-O-D. Our version of Hollywood. Where people like Jerome and these young people who do content, Mr. Licks and so on, just dump content into that channel. And that channel is a 24/7 local channel where you get money, you get paid for doing the work that you do. We give youth exposure. We bring back this idea of respectable debates. We do future economic programs for young, where young people are involved. We do not just use the youth when it's election time and say, come and wave for us and we will dance and see who and stuff like that. So we actually are the movement that is concerned about promoting the welfare of the young people. More than any other movement, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
One last question, Melissa Brown from Our Story. Now, this is a non-biased platform.
Yes.
And I've had the privilege of interviewing the representative of the UWP, possibly the next leader, Mr. Thompson Fontaine.
Oh, he's going to be the leader, Mr.
Look at, please view the Facebook link,
yes,
our story, The Island, so that you can be able to be privileged to that interview.
Mm.
Now, having interviewed Mr. Thompson Fontaine, and this TV show is non-biased, but we highlight social issues around the Caribbean. And I am also the founder of an NGO, Women of Unique Distinction. We have been in communities throughout Dominica since 2019. Now, I hear a lot of questions about infrastructure and things that do not directly affect the people on the ground. Tell me, if you are given that privilege to lead Dominica, what are you, or what are you going to put in place, what policies are you going to put in place to actually affect those who are being affected by social issues in Dominica?
Yeah, that's a really big question. One of the things we are going to do, well, child sexual abuse is a major problem in Dominica. I think that's a pandemic, because there are a number of unreported cases. And I delay a bit because I am a victim of child sexual abuse myself. So it's a topic that I really wish didn't come up today, but it's a topic that came up and I have to deal with it. So we're certainly going to create a safe haven for people who have been abused. Spousal abuse, child abuse, sexual abuse, and other form of social abuse. One of the things that we think is the problem in our country and around the region is this extended family living together, where you have father, grandfather, grandmother, sister, parent, nene, and uncle living in the same household. So we would kind of create a government policy to move away from that and have more nuclear families, single families. And our housing program would cater to that. We would not afford the possibility for housing for people 45 and under. We do for people 19 to 99 who have not owned a house. So we create the environment for more nuclear families to be created, take the wonderful boys and girls away from those extended family dynamic, reduce the chances of the abuse. I do not know how much I'm going to put it, but that, if you can at least save them from certain environments, you will take care of that. The other thing we will do, we'll create a national movement that will be funded nationally and internationally to take care and to respond to the needs of those who have been abused. Proactively, and unfortunately they get abused after they have been abused. And we have that laid out in the budget that we gave, the response that we gave. We had that laid out very nicely, how we are going to fund this actual project for people who suffer abuse. We are very passionate about that, the abuse, the people who abuse, the elderly, the people who are differently abled, and those who are sick. We are very, very passionate about that. And probably in Calibi, she will speak a bit more about that. And certainly in our movement's manifesto, we have a full section for people who are directly impacted by abuse and what we intend to do, beginning with the different housing arrangement. Those apartment buildings with different apartments in the same unit. I mean, this is okay, but think about the social impact, the dealing that could take place. I mean, it's tough, so we have to think seriously whether apartment building is the way to go or whether self-contained family houses in the communities where the people are from. Because, you know, you transplant me from Benz and put me to live in somewhere in Warner, you change my whole dynamics. So our bias would be to create living in these areas, not necessarily in apartments, but in self-contained houses. And I think that is one of the major things that we will do that has not been spoken about as yet. That's one of the ills that I think we need to solve. This extended family problem is a serious problem. Most people who are abused by people who they know in an extended family situation. So I can give that to you for now.
Thank you.
And we could sit and have a full-length interview. But if you interviewed Mr. Fontaine, who you say is going to be the UWP leader, you should interview me too.
Well, that would be the next step. But
okay.
I'm glad I'm here to be privy to this.
Not a problem.
Yeah?
Not a problem.
Thank you.
Yes, sir?
Just one quick question. You know, I read a lot about youth and agriculture. Like, that's kind of like the first thing for you for today.
Yes.
Agriculture.
Yes.
But I haven't really watched, like, health, sports, tourism.
Yeah, man.
And whether youth will be concerned in those key areas.
Very good. So tourism, youth, housing falls under the same ministry. Tourism, youth, housing, culture fall under the same ministry. And the first item mentioned under the ministry of youth is youth. Housing, culture, and agriculture. The youth is what's going to... Here's one of the ideas that we have in terms of the youth and the housing. You see the apartments that we have built all over the places and put people into those apartments, we're going to put that in the hands of the youth division and the National Youth Council for them to manage those as a project so they can make money for the departments from the management of those units. The people who are not occupying those units can remain in those units. But if they do not have to remain and we can relocate them on their private lands, those units become available for people, younger people who need short-term accommodation to have accommodation. So we solve a housing problem for the youth right away. Plus we give them the opportunity to make money from managing the apartments. So we put that in the hands of the youth, you know, my friend. Sports, we are already speaking to the Windsor Stadium in England. And our idea is to twin Windsor Park with the Windsor Stadium. Look at the comparison, almost same size, same capacity. Because we can celebrate our past heritage with the British by doing business with them. So if we have Windsor in Dominica, which is named after Windsor in England, our idea is to work with the Cricket Association and to twin those both stadiums. So Dominica's Windsor Park becomes the elite cricket stadium in the Caribbean. No longer Barbados or Jamaica, wherever it is. So we will talk with the English and say, guys, let's work together, man. Former friends, you know, let's build Windsor Park, help us. Redesign it, put lights, give us 24/7 lights. So that's sports. We're also thinking of a St. Andrew's golf course in the Wesley area to be twinned with another St. Andrew's golf course. Golf is a big international game. It would be nice to see Donald Trump. It would be nice to see golfers play golf in Dominica, don't you think? Bring some high-profile like Tiger Woods and so to play. So we have already started thinking about how we could set up a St. Andrew's golf course. Again, working with the St. Andrew's golfers in England to kind of piggyback on our past to create opportunities. And I can continue speaking about the ideas that we have for youth in terms of education, in terms of scholarship on merit, not on who wants to or who knows who. Scholarship on merits, with opportunities to make money while they are studying, and a guarantee to come back to make a living from what you're making. And I can go on and on and on, my friend, about what we have in plans for the youth, but I'm happy you asked those questions.
Last question.
Yeah.
Again, it is a non-biased platform. Now, doing my own research, mm-hmm. And also speaking, the research involves speaking with local Dominicans, and their stories. What do you plan to, or what do you have in place to screen your ministers to deal with misbehavior in public office in reference to sexual misconduct with their locals? Because you mentioned scholarships. I've heard some stories.
Horror stories.
Yeah, horror
I've
stories.
I've heard them too. I've been told the stories directly by people who are victims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you have in place to screen to ensure that this does not happen again should your party or movement be elected?
But we offer scholarships to citizens on merit.
Okay.
And if a child deserves to get the opportunity to have a higher education, there should be no strings attached to that.
So I should feel safe with a Dominican daughter now being two, and should your party be elected, she should be safe if she is academically inclined and on the level to receive a scholarship. I should feel safe that she will not be bent over.
No, yeah? Yes. Why would we do that to our children? I mean, I've heard it, but I don't want to get into that because is so depressing.
And it's so sad. Moving forward, having a Dominican child, should you need to put things in place with your ministers? So we should never.
Zero tolerance whatsoever.
Exactly.
And there'll be a committee, a group, not politicians, no?
Yeah.
There will be a private, not private, private public sector group that's involved in vetting. Mm. And offering the opportunities to students and the government pay.
Yes.
No minister, no prime minister, nobody will directly engage with anybody's child when it comes to matters of scholarship or any other thing that anybody needs.
Yes.
You see this idea of assisting the welfare. We'll do the welfare programs,
mm-hmm.
but not through the prime minister or through a minister or through a PAL rep.
Mm-hmm.
Through the technocrats in their office. You go there, you register your case, you know what it is that you have to do. The technocrats, the PSs ask us for how much money, and we take care of our people.
Okay.
Oh, yes. We are, and one of the things we're going to do as well is our lifestyle will be based on the average Dominican lifestyle.
Okay.
That's why we say the leader, the prime minister will be living in Monroe's.
Okay.
Or at their home, meeting some of the cost of living at their home.
Okay.
Or at their mansion, whatever they have.
Okay.
We would immediately, if we were in office today, stop the $64,000 payment for rent for our prime minister and put that money towards Domlec to assist the less fortunate electricity bills.
Uh-huh.
So the very, very, very people who are very much in need, that $64,000 a month will be guaranteed towards them to assist in lowering the cost of electricity. We will do that like yesterday if we were the party. And our leaders and so would be hands off those things and believe in where the government have provided housing, or on your own if you choose to.
Yeah.
But the government is not going to be indebted to you as a head of government to $64,000. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
If it is good for you, we're going to give it to the people.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Guys, we have to wrap up. It's an hour almost. I want to thank you for coming. Thanks for your many questions. Thanks for your participation. Looking forward to seeing you in Calabashie on Sunday, Kalyle. We'll have one or two. Water, Lubia water. You still have Lubia water, no? I said top it.